There we go.
Scott goes out and spends $1,000 on a TV, $700 on a Scorpio, just so he can play the Mako in 4K.
He builds a balsa wood cockpit.
Oh, so excited. It's going to be great. I'm just going to zigzag up all the mountains in the galaxy.
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 246, and I am your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Ash.
And I'm having deja vu right now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
Full disclosure, we just recorded an episode right before this one.
You didn't have to disclose that.
Full disclosure.
That's how the...
It's been a long time since we've done two at once, if you know what I mean.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Since the last time we all went to PAX together.
Yeah,
I know.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So let's see. On this episode, we'll talk about what we've been up to. Of course, there were some big tech announcements over the past week or the week prior, depending on when this actually makes it to you. And in our reviews, we will talk about Deus Ex, Awesome Knots, a mystery game, and NBA 2K17, The Prelude.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I did that. So take that.
Yeah, that's fine. That works. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, this episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate's theme in September is speed, and you should have a couple of days maybe to get this by the time this comes out. So if you're looking for some high-octane adrenaline-pumping action, look no further than speed, featuring some of pop culture's quickest characters and vehicles. This month, get unique loot from Arrow, Flash, Batman, Battlestar Galactica, and Iron Man 2. Don't forget that each and every crate comes with an exclusive t-shirt in your size, and a collectible Loot Crate pin. So go on over to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and use the code RATEDNA and get a speed crate for September and get a little discount and help the podcast.
Sweet.
And also, when I do that run of Arrow, Flash, Batman, Battlestar Galactica, I sort of start feeling like that Jim and The Office riff where Jim just is like, Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. And, all right, anyways.
Yeah,
watch TV.
Yep.
Thanks.
Watch the TV.
Scott, what have you been up to?
Not too much, but I had to take a break from Watch Dogs because it started to become tedious to me.
Yeah.
So in doing that, I started playing two games, one of which I'll talk about later, which was NBA 2K17, The Prelude. And I also picked up a free-to-play game, but there's a reason. I picked up a free-to-play game on
and
Xbox.
It's achievements.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but it's called Gems of War, and it's actually from the original creators of Puzzle Quest.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I was a really big fan of the original Puzzle Quest game. It's sort of like a turn-based Tetris attack, so it's
okay.
Kind of in my wheelhouse. And
I legitimately thought this was going to be like a tie-in to Gears of War, but like... But like a gem breaking game.
No.
Line up the chainsaw guns.
To be honest, I'm gonna name drop for a second. We, you know, I follow the two folks over at Girl Tribe Gaming, and they,
yeah,
they're super cool podcast, really friendly and inviting and welcoming to everybody. But they started playing Gems of War, and then our pal Jen Jarvis started playing Gems of War, so. Once I saw it was Puzzle Quest, I was like, oh, okay. And it's actually not too, you know, it doesn't fall into a lot of the traps that normal free-to-play games do. You know, like you can basically get along pretty well as long as you understand the mechanics of the game well enough and you have some basic understanding of deck building and, you know, setting up combos and stuff like that as far as attacks go, that you can do okay without spending a lot of money. I just spent $5 to get going, and I feel satisfied. So, yeah, it's cool. It's Gems of War. I think it's actually a mobile game. But, and if the thing that kind of stinks is that if you play on mobile, you can connect it to your same game on PC through an account. But the console versions of the games are not connectable, so they're sort of isolated from the other experiences. But that being said, it's still a really fun game. And it does have, you know, normal free-to-play elements of like 15 different currencies or whatever, but you can just hop in and play the game and have fun with it. It's good enough on its own for free. So that is, that's pretty much all I've been doing because, I don't know, I've been working a lot. So, Ash, what's going on with you, man?
Recovering from PAX goo disease is the official name. Another shout out for Girl Trap Gaming. I was actually just listening to them as I was making dinner tonight. And one thing that I really do like about that show is when they do reviews, they kind of review games in a very honest way, but also they're very reluctant to give like terrible scores to games without really explaining why. And I really appreciate that. So they would say something to the effect of, we gave this game a 5 out of 10, but here's why I really gave it a 5 out of 10. And, you know, I respect the artistic vision of the people that made the game. However, the game is not for me. And I just thought that was a very adult and honest way of reviewing without being snarky or kind of petty. Yeah. So definitely if you're looking for that type of review, then definitely check out Girl Trap Gaming. They're a lot of fun and I like their show. So that's a kind of little plug for them just because I honestly was listening to them today. Mm-hmm. What have I been doing? So, I've been hanging out with my kid a lot, which has been super fun. And I got a review copy of Headlander, which I don't think I'm going to talk about this week because I don't know if we have enough time, but I've been playing a bit of Headlander.
I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about this.
Well, the short version is it is a game built for Scott. okay. It is your, like, I can see you loving this game and like wanting to get a Headlander tattoo on your body.
What?
It is a whimsical retro future space puzzle platformer. Sure. Made by Double Fine. And I honestly think it's got like quirky, like, you know, kind of retro space music with like strange, like 60s aesthetic and
Logan's Run.
Yes. Yep. And I just think you would just, you know, the way that the game even looks visually, it looks like you're watching it like through a Buck Rogers filter or something.
Oh, wow.
It's like,
it just really, really, really cool. It hurts my soul that it's only on PlayStation, like that it, you know, PlayStation.
Oh,
that
yeah. Well, it's on PC too. You can get it on Steam.
Yeah. I'll play it on PC. It's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, Headlander has been fun. I've been playing a bit of that. I got the Xbox version, the review copy of Awesome Knots, which I'll talk about in the review section.
That's crazy, man. I had no idea that this game was not on Xbox One yet.
It just came out this week, and Awesome Knots is so much fun. We talked about this game probably well over a year ago on the podcast when it just came out for PC, but it's out now on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 with all the expansion packs, all the additional characters, and it is like getting to play a, you know, 1980s cartoon with your friends, and it's MOBA-esque, so, you know, it's objective-based, and you're trying to, like, knock stuff down. I won't do too big of a review now, but I've been playing Awesome Knots on Xbox, which is fun. Been watching more of the Real World Road Rules Challenge, now known as The Challenge. Man, I'm telling you, shit's heating up, guys. Shit is heating up.
Now, is this
what year are you actually?
I was gonna say, is this a show that's still on, or is it the original?
No, it's on. It's totally on. And the sad part is like I'm all caught up now. I just finished season 28.
Oh my god.
Good Lord.
Seasons 21 through 28 are on Hulu. And it's great. So if you're into challenge stunt type shows, if you're into people eating bugs and like hiking and like doing crazy stuff, check it out on Hulu. MTV is The Challenge. Not even a shameless plug. I love it. I absolutely love it.
It's cracking me up,
I got so damn excited because Susie and Sarah from The Challenge now follow our show on Twitter and they are our friends. Shout out to them. They do a great show, and this is not even this is a real shout out. They do a podcast called Brain Candy that is fucking great. So if you're into psychology, if you're into current events, if you're into just comedy, definitely check out Brain Candy. It's good. So that's another show I've been listening to recently. And other than that, I've just been kind of trying to get better and you know, not sneeze up green stuff. Good. What about you, Matt?
I did all the stuff. Guys. Hey, why'd you let me do all this stuff again?
Hey, look at you.
I mean, I just wrote a bunch of stuff down, but we Scott, you played a little bit too. We played Battlefield a little bit during the preview weekend.
Did we not talk about this yet?
Did we not? Did we? We talked about it on Slack. I don't think we podcasted.
Maybe we should, should we just briefly talk about it?
Yeah, I am very bad at this game to a laughable degree. I am the worst pilot that you have ever seen in your... I spent 90% of my time upside down and crashing when I got into a plane. But I would, just despite the rest of my teammates, jump into a plane the moment it was available when I was coming back into the match. So that was always fun. But I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, and maybe it's because it's slower because it's World War One again, right? One. It's slower, so it was a little bit more enjoyable for me than some of the more recent iterations, where the game is like so insanely fast that I'm too old and can't keep up. But I almost exclusively ran around as the sniper. It was the only thing that felt comfortable. I don't know what. How did you feel, Scott?
I thought that they took maybe elements of prior Battlefield games and rolled them up with some elements of Star Wars Battlefront, because like you said, the speed of the game was slower, and that's something that I noticed in Battlefront as well, is that it's slower than Battlefield 4 was, for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sort of appreciate that because I feel like it sort of levels the playing field a little bit because...
A little, yeah.
Yeah, because the vehicles are sort of slower. But, you know, in the one map that I was able to play, I found that there was enough things to do, but I never really felt like I was accomplishing any goals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I never knew what I was trying to do mostly, other than to capture the flag, like on the one desert. I guess it was just the one map we played on, right?
Yeah.
The desert map or whatever. I kind of knew sort of that we were playing capture the flag, but it was hard for me to... it's such a vast thing that when you weren't in a vehicle, like, you would post up like somewhere like a mile away from the thing
and then you're just running forever. That's the old, you know, the old Battlefield problem is that if when you spawn at the base and none of the vehicles have respawned yet and you're just standing there and you're like, well, I could walk for 3 minutes, or I could just wait for another Jeep to show up and then I'll just get blown up when I get there. But
I killed a horse and I felt terrible.
Oh god, that's awful. I hate that. Yeah,
I like did it, and I was like, "Oh god, that felt awful."
Yeah, but I mean, probably the most fun that I had is that at one point I found there was like some artillery, near one of the flags, and I, you know, my first instinct was it was like, "Oh, that's just there for show." Yeah. And then I walked up to it and it was like, "Press X," and I was like, "Oh, okay." And next thing I know, it was like firing off shells at tanks in the distance, and it was kind of fun. And
they had machine guns up around ridges and the rooftops and stuff too. There was a lot of embedded weapons that you were like, oh, I can get on, like, which made it nice as the sniper to be able to like run up and grab a machine gun and just start unloading when people were like running up towards you, you know?
Yeah. And what I will say about that is that when I was in the artillery cannon, it only held one shell. And so I'd have to go through the animation to like reload the cannon each time. And I thought I was really impressed with the animation because it reminded me of the quality that was similar to the animations in the new Wolfenstein games, you know?
Yeah.
Because that game had a lot of really, really like intricate close up animations of you doing things. And I thought Battlefield, you know, didn't really have like a lot of that. And I felt like there was more of that in this game. So there's more attention to detail, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was fun though, overall. Like I had a good time. I don't know that, you know, with the landscape that we've talked about coming up between Battlefield, there's a new Call of Duty, right?
Titanfall and then, 2.
Titanfall 2 and Gears. Like, it's like, for me, for my money's worth, I'm probably going to pick up Gears just because there's a narrative and we can co-op and it's a little less jump in, jump out. Whereas, like, Battlefield was fun and like, maybe if it dropped super cheap on EA or whatever, I'd just go ahead and pick it up and have it, but
for us as casual fans, here's the thing: we can play Battlefield 4 in the vault and Battlefield Hardline. So we could, if we ever had that itch, we could just do that. You know, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But I would say it did not feel gross or like unpolished or like a broken game. It was fun and it was smooth and like I really had very little problem with it. It just was one of those like, you know, with five other games of similar style coming out, there's one that I already like the theme setting and the fact that I can co-op in.
Yes.
The only thing it's missing is that it doesn't have giant maps where I can fly a plane into a mountain for no reason.
At least you can shoot at the planes now. I mean, they go slow enough.
Yeah.
You can actually,
and they actually tell you, like, damage you do to them, too. Yeah. Like, I sniped one, and it was, like, 50 damage. And I was like, oh, neat.
Yeah, it's quality.
I didn't take it down or anything, but it was fun.
Anyway, sorry to hijack your
No,
there,
no, but... I realized that I don't think we had talked about that. That's why I threw it in there. I'll stick on the game theme for now. I played a bunch of Deus Ex, which we're going to talk about later. Mm-hmm. Really enjoying that. I picked up a game that I can't fully review now. I haven't put enough time in, and... Yeah, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on it, but a game called Jotun, or Jotun, I guess, which we got sent a review copy for, and it is kind of like it's gore. I don't know if you guys looked at the art. Did you at all?
Yeah, it's sort of like a soft art comic book style. Like, it's kind of like...
Yeah. It's really pretty. Like, when you get into the art in the game is fantastic. And it's sort of, if you were to combine... Banner Saga and like the setting and theme of Banner Saga, mm-hmm. and combine that with like a Bastion, if you will.
Okay. Wow.
Cool.
Maybe not quite as like, it doesn't seem as deep as Bastion yet, as far as like move sets go. But that kind of like top down, slasher, you know, old Zelda style gaming.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really fun. The thing is that's weird about it is it's very hard to understand what's going on, and it's a very deep narrative. So if you remember when you first fired up Banner Saga and you thought, oh man, I'm going to play a strategy game, and then you fired it up and you're like, holy God, how heavy is this narrative? Like, that sort of is what hit me right away, which is why I don't want to review it this early, because I'm kind of like, I want to give it a little more time because I don't fully grasp what's going on. The story seems like they threw me in the middle of a Viking narrative that I have no idea why I'm there or what happened yet. So we'll talk about it a little bit later. If it did interest you and you were worried at all about just gameplay and art and all that kind of stuff, it works very well. There's very little problem there. I feel bad reviewing something that I feel like has a good narrative that I haven't touched really. Yep. So
right.
And then I played Overwatch. Ash.
Oh my gosh.
I really can't believe you did.
Well, it was free weekend on Xbox.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and downloaded it. I figured I would give it a shot. I really don't mind that Ash talks about it. It's just funny because he does talk about it a lot.
One of our Twitter followers accused me of blowing Overwatch.
Oh, geez.
like sexually, not like ruining it, like the opposite of ruining it.
Yeah, like favoring it. I think you're going to be wrong. That's why I don't want to make you do this. What character do you think I picked ultimately, Ash?
I want to say maybe Farrah.
Whoa, you nailed it. I thought you were going to say I was the weird archer guy.
Farrah's really good, though, man. I can see like why you would pick her.
I like her, I think, 90% for the jump rocket thing that she has. But everybody else felt... It was weird. I, for whatever reason, picked her first, like, just kind of randomly. I just ended up on her, which I think was interesting because I think Nate said he ended up on somebody else first, right?
Tracer was his first.
Tracer. And then just ended up, like, playing that character for a long time. It's as if, like, you hit a character and it just felt right for some reason, or you like the animation or whatever it might be. I will happily admit it was very fun. I will couch that in the fact that I don't know if this is the Xbox version, but it was, like, broken as fuck while I was playing it. I was getting bounced out of matches, like, constantly. Scott, I saw you on a couple times. Did you have the same experience or no?
Oh, I didn't play Overwatch. It wasn't me.
Oh, I thought I saw you on at Overwatch. I just don't know how to use Xbox. I swear I like went into some your social area and it said you were playing, but maybe it just wanted me to invite you.
I was going to say, maybe it probably just saw I was online and said you could invite me to a party or something.
It was so, like, basically players were just dropping out constantly, or I don't know. I have no idea what was going on, but I would literally start a match and then a minute later get bounced out of it. And then it would, like, throw me into a skirmish and then bounce me out of that and put me in a match and bounce me out of it. Like, it happened enough where I quit. Cause I was like, this is obnoxious.
Maybe
so
people were quitting the matches.
Yeah. I think people were about jumping out of it real fast. Like, for whatever. I honestly don't know why. It happened a lot enough for me to be like, notice and get annoyed and stop playing at a certain certain point. So, but the gameplay was everything you've said before. It was super smooth, very fun. I don't need to review Overwatch, but I just thought you would enjoy that I played it.
I'm glad that you got a chance to play it, man. It's still a super fun game. It's like one of those weird where once you figure out like a character you really like and you get a strategy, it gets super tactical and more enjoyable the deeper you get, you know.
It also did that heroin thing where the first game I played, I got player of the game or whatever, and then and then got voted like top thing or whatever, because I did this weird, I had this weird sequence of events where as Farrah, I like ran in and like catapulted over the wall that everybody was behind. Nice. And then like rocketed down and killed four guys in like one shot, landed, took over another spot, and then killed like another guy. And I was like, just like a weird run that I had out of nowhere that was really good. And then
They show you that highlight and you're like, I'm awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was that. And then like the other highlight, I had one death shot where I got killed and killed the guy that killed me. Like I had fired a rocket before he killed me, and then the rocket killed him like a second later. And Melissa was sitting there with me, and I started laughing. She's like, what? I'm like, watch. And it like showed the highlight of me dying and then killing him at the same time. And I was like, yeah. So whatever. It was a fun game though. I enjoyed it. If I had a better graphics card, if you were on Xbox or I had a better graphics card, I'd probably get it. But
sweet.
Those two things.
But you did have fun.
I did have fun. Yeah.
How about that?
So I look forward to hearing about it for hours on end for the next, however long Ash is playing this game.
Next time comes out, I'll talk about it for a long time.
Yep. There it is.
There's a new season of Great British Bake Off, the greatest show ever created for TV. Have you guys ever watched this yet?
I'm not going to make fun of it because I'm watching like 85 seasons of The Challenge. So I'm all about this stuff now.
The Great British Bake Off is on the BBC. It's on. There's a season on Netflix right now that you can watch, but it's on the BBC, and it's just like 12 delightful British bakers who are not professionals. They're like just regular people who go into this baking competition, and it is the most like endearing and calm and relaxing TV show that has ever been created. There's no drama like at all. There's zero drama on this show.
That's cool.
Like they don't even try to like the producers don't even try to edit it in a way where you're like, oh god, there's no like, when they announce winners, there's barely a pause. It's like, and the winner is this person. And you're like, oh, they did it so quickly. Like, it's
like the opposite of MasterChef.
It's the opposite of every like competition show in the US. And it's wonderful. Like, and it's got this nice, like string section intro music that when it starts playing, you're like, oh, I'm going to be so happy right now. It's the greatest. Everybody should be watching the show. It's the best thing ever created, and you should all watch it. Fall TV is coming. We talked about it. It's a little disappointing, but we'll see what comes back. I'm excited. Actually, I'm really excited about everything returning. I don't know if you guys feel the same.
I'm more excited about things returning myself as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the new stuff I've looked at, I'm just like, huh. Hmm. Wow. They're not really, it doesn't feel like they're going for anything this year. Like they're just kind of like, well,
the worst was I saw the trailer for the new Lethal Weapon, which honestly looks like an SNL parody. I'm just like,
it does.
Is this real?
Yeah. Like what is happening? Like there's a new, like listen to this. There's a new MacGyver. There's a new Lethal Weapon. There's a new Kevin James sitcom that sounds like they're making a joke about the fact that he's Kevin James doing a sitcom. Like, it's like weird. It's like all these shows that existed, you know, The Odd Couple's there, like all these shows that existed forever. Like they can't get a new one on TV, but well, it's like I don't know, whatever.
It almost seems like if you have an edgy idea now, you just take it to Netflix or Amazon and hope that it, or Hulu, and just hope that it does well there.
You could take it there, or you could take it to like FX or maybe HBO and Showtime, depending on like what
the
theme is.
The caliber, the budget and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited about, I had turned HBO off, but I think I'm gonna turn it back on for Westworld. I don't know if you guys are gonna watch that or not.
I mean, I remember the the original movie that so I don't know how you make a series out of that, but I'm interested.
Yeah. So anyways, that's some fall TV. We're not going to do an episode like we used to do probably on it, cause there's nothing worth really talking about.
Yeah. We're like, all these look terrible. Us complaining for 2 hours about terrible shows.
Yeah. Us just complaining about network TV. And then fantasy football started up again. Scott and I are playing in a league. I'm getting my ass handed to me currently, but that's fun. Nerd football and or D&D football, whatever you want to call it. I love it. Happy it's back. News. So the first thing was Apple announces their new iPhone as well as a new version of their Apple Watch. And that was it. They actually didn't announce anything else. They did quietly drop prices on all of their iPads and up the storage on them. So if you've been thinking about getting an iPad, then they're cheaper with better storage now. But they didn't actually update any of the guts from what I understand. But yeah, so the biggest news on the iPhone is that the headphone jack is gone and that everything else is sort of incremental increases, which you know, is to be expected at this point. A much better processor and better graphics chip and a bigger battery, and they've got something like if you get the Plus, the bigger iPhone, you get a dual camera now that will supposedly take the greatest low light pictures you've ever taken on a phone, and I think it's got a front facing flash on the front camera now, and you know, all the kind of stuff you come to expect. But they removed the home button. It's now a taptic button that doesn't actually compress or anything, haptic. And then they removed the headphone jack, and everything either has to be Bluetooth or through the Lightning port. But they are including a dongle, guys, so get excited about that so that you can keep using your headphones as they exist now. So did you guys watch any of this?
I've been reading about it, but yeah. I think I'm probably with the masses here, but the whole dongle, no headphone jack is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It's so incredibly stupid. And like when people are like, well, just use Bluetooth. Well, yeah, I don't want to add another thing with like battery life to my already struggling battery life. That's the whole point of having, anyway, having to use a dongle to use your headphones defeats the entire purpose of the phone being slim in the first place.
Can you,
like, yes.
Like how do you charge the phone and listen to something at the same time?
You either don't, or you buy the $40 adapter that Belkin already has made that has two lightning jacks on it.
You have to carry dongles around for your slim phone. That's right. Kind of dumb.
Literally what Apple's doing.
Yeah.
That's pointless. So
it's horrible.
Here's the thing. Like if you are pro Apple, right? If you're like 100% go Apple time, then you are touting that the Apple has been the innovator that's removed every single thing that's outdated on everything that's ever existed. So technical wise. So like they got rid of the floppy drive first. So they got rid of the CD drive first. They got, you know, rid of the network port, which I don't know if that's really ever been touted as a great move or not, but it is gone on their laptops. So like they remove things usually quicker. They kind of announce something dead before everybody else does. It's just their MO, right? So if you're pro Apple, they're saying, well, look, guys, it's a 100-year-old technology. It's outdated. It's time to move on. If you're not pro Apple and you're anywhere below, you just, you know, as Ash put earlier, below Apple for whatever's going on, then you look at this as like Apple is creating sort of a walled off garden of their own thing now. Like there is now officially no port inside of the iPhone that is like open or analog. It's all exclusively Apple. So the Lightning port is an Apple port. Like
it's all proprietary.
It's all proprietary. Yep. Thank you, Scott. That's the word.
The new Sony, you know?
They are. Yeah. So like it's a really weird move in some ways because it just isn't, I don't know. It's the first time that they have really removed something that wasn't theirs anyways. You know what I mean? Like they switched from that bigger port to the Lightning port a few iterations back. And everybody kind of freaked out then too, because they're like, well, I have so many things that use that old port. And they're like, yeah, well, everything will update. And everything did over time. And, you know, Bluetooth headphones are getting better. The battery life is longer for sure, but now if you wanted to buy a pair of headphones that works on anything else, it's going to either have to be Bluetooth enabled or you're just not. I mean, that's like the reality.
Yeah.
Super weird.
So it's weird. I think it's the most, you know, it's their most courageous move if you ask them. But the joke is that they called that courageous over and over again during the thing. They're like, we're being courageous and removing the headphone jack. And it's like, courage doesn't.
Yeah, they're true heroes. Yeah.
So, especially like, it's just obnoxious because it's if you already have a really expensive pair of headphones, which a lot of us have, you're going to be forced to really, you know, carry around this dongle, which is just another piece of tech that you really don't want to drag around with you everywhere. Granted, like Yeah,
I don't know. You don't have to have an iPhone.
That is true. I mean, or so, you just get the 6, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or you get an older version, yeah. Mm-hmm. So speaking of the phone that's been selling like hotcakes, no pun intended, is the Samsung Ooh. Note 7.
Zing.
Which the fun zing on that is that they're exploding.
Yeah. They're actually banning them from some flights, I saw.
That's crazy. They've banned them from a majority of flights, and Samsung has gone as far as saying, if you have a Note 7, bring it into the store and exchange it now. It's apparently very bad, because Samsung has done a full recall on a Note 7, which is insane.
Yeah.
And I only bring that up because with this headphone thing and the exploding Note 7s, there is news that Google is announcing their new Nexus phone, which they're going to type, they're rebranding as the Pixel phones in like 2 weeks. It's like really soon. So just saying, if you are that upset at Apple, maybe give it a couple weeks and see what Google does and go from there. There's plenty of smartphones out there if you want one. So
that is true.
Yeah, I don't know. I was with you guys. The iPhone 7 stuff, I was just kind of like, okay. Like, their marketing speak, you know, I'm an Apple fan, and I still, like, their marketing speak annoys the shit out of me. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, have you guys heard about these next two shows? Hulu picked
I have not.
Hulu picked up two sci-fi shows. One, I think, is either going in or is in production, which is Seth Rogen's jokey take on a sci-fi show called Future Man. And sure. Then sure.
I'll take
and
it.
Then, and then they are supposedly going after big genre sci-fi with another one based off of a YA novel series called Throne of Glass.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I brought this up because I think Scott gets so bummed that everything he's ever wanted to watch that sci-fi gets canceled, borderline immediately.
Totally.
So I was like, well, look at this, Scott. There's your streaming partners are helping you out.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, that's where I watch most of my stuff now anyways, so.
Yeah.
You know, but some of that stuff used to be on broadcast, which was awesome, and now it's not, so just gotta look somewhere else. So I'm glad it's coming.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently they're not gonna call it Throne of Glass, the other thing. That's the name of the book series. I think it's got some other title that they're gonna roll with to stay away from Game of Thrones, But it looked that one looks pretty interesting, but it does have a very kind of YA read to it as far as what the take is. It's like based off of a girl who's an assassin who, you know, falls in love and does other things. So I don't know. Like, if they do big genre, I think big genre stuff is getting proven pretty well. So if they do it right, it could be really fun. But yeah,
I agree. I'll watch anything that's like surprisingly good, you know, and there's so much out there that I'm still haven't watched, like Man in the High Castle and like so many of these Netflix and Hulu originals that are, you know, really, really loved. I haven't really had a chance to check out yet. So
I had a friend recommend Other Space to me, and I was like, listen to the damn show, man.
Right? Is that out on anywhere yet, other like Hulu,
it's
Netflix, anything?
Yahoo. No.
Oh my god.
Brutal.
I can't even get that app for my damn Fire TV.
Well, maybe Hulu picked it up because they picked up the last season of Community, but I don't know if that came through the Community deal or if it came through Yahoo. I don't really know.
We want Other Space.
So I'll let you guys do these next two because I think you actually watched them in real time.
Scott, you want to start?
Yeah, sure.
Stuff?
So, you know, this past week, Sony announced the PS4 Pro and their hardware refresh called the, I think, did they call it the Slim?
I believe it was called the Slim from what I saw.
Slim. The Slim leaked out completely, you know, in the days leading up to the event. So that was no surprise. And then I think it was fairly well known that Sony was going to, because, you know, this was the Neo, but I think it's confusing because I watched some of the press event and it just felt like something was not clicking the right way, and they were using some bizarre language when they were describing the Pro, but the I guess the PS4 Pro is the Neo.
Yes.
And sort of what I perceive to be the main sell of this device is that it will support 4K gaming, question mark.
Yeah. Question mark.
But the reason why I say question mark is because if you go back and you watch the actual press announcement, which was like nowhere near the caliber of, you know, production budget for like an E3 event, the speaker almost seemed to like suggest directly to developers that it was sort of on them to decide how to leverage the power of the device to support 4K or HDR, and if that meant it was going to be graphics or lighting effects or something else that was very specific, it was going to be up to the developer to determine how they were going to do that and to, you know, to fork it for the two PlayStation lines that they now have. Did you get that same vibe?
A little bit about it just making 1080. It seems like they were like touting that it will make 1080 games look 1080 or better, I guess, well. So it's kind of like, it was a weird split on this, which I think we've talked at length about before, and I've ranted about this idea of like splitting console power now and trying to figure out where these things are going to fall. Like, although I think they priced the Pro at $399, right?
Yeah, so that's reasonable. I think it's a 1 terabyte machine is what the Pro is going to be.
So that is much more on the reasonable end, at least, and it's not like, it's not insanely priced. Although for like, you look at the Scorpio kind of half announcement from Xbox, and it's like, well, that 1080 card is $399 retail on its own. So
right.
So what do you do there, you know? But yeah, did you watch the actual announcement, Ash? Because I didn't see it.
I just really find it odd that they're doing these like smaller versions of existing consoles, and then like just a year later they're going to be coming out with like the Scorpio and the Pro. I just think if it's confusing for us, I can't imagine what it's like for general average consumers. Like, I just think it's going to be a bit of a nightmare.
That,
you know,
Pro is going to be available later this year. So
yeah,
that's right.
If you're shopping for a PS4, you're going to go to the store. You're going to see the Slim for $299. You'll see the Pro for $399. And then you might see some old stock of the original PlayStation. And then you'll ask the employee at the store, what's the difference between these three consoles? Yeah. And they just might say graphics ?
Yeah.
Or like, do you have a 4K TV?
And that's that. Do you want to play VR?
Yeah. And that's the other thing too, right? Is that like, obviously if you get a Pro, maybe you're going to get VR, but the Pro is $399 and the VR is going to be $399.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll have many peripherals, and we're almost headed back to the Wii days, you know, where you had like multiple nunchucks and dongles and other things like that. So
it still doesn't, while this takes some of the bite out of building a PC, you know, VR kit, like it's not much of a bite out of a PC VR kit. It feels like at the end of the day, you're still going to drop a grand just to get going on VR on a PS4 Pro.
Yeah. Jesus. So I kind of thought that, you know, this was more about Sony trying to court PC gamers over to a console than it was to sort of like fight with Microsoft over the Xbox, right? Because I think Microsoft's approach to PC players is just to tell them like, hey, you have a PC and we're just going to make Windows your Xbox platform, you know, on your PC.
Microsoft's approach is like, please stop using Steam. Like, yes. I mean, that's like literally what it is. Correct. It's like, we don't care where you play, just play using our store.
Yes.
Like, that's what they want. Which is smart. I mean, that's not an intelligent move when you've got a box that can sit on somebody's TV and then a more powerful box that can sit in their, you know, office or whatever other room they might be in. Mm. Like, then for sure, like, court them in that way. Like, we don't give a shit. Like, play wherever you want to play. That's fine. But it's still, like, this whole splitting of consoles thing is weird. It's confusing. I don't understand it yet. Like, I don't know. We talked a little on Slack. Like, how does a kid, like, when I was 16, all I had to do was decipher between, or 16, Jesus, younger than that. Whenever I was whatever, I had to decipher between Sega and Nintendo, and that was it. Like, it was just like, I want either the Genesis or the Super Nintendo, and those are the only talks we have to have about which machine I'm looking at, you know? Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you got Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, and then you've got three boxes on each one that you can pick between, so.
It's weird, too, because, you know, if you don't want to get VR, and you're trying to decide, why should I buy the Pro? And the reason is graphics. Like, that's it feels weird to me, because when we move from, you know, for instance, when we move from 360 to Xbox One, you know, a selling point of moving was like, hey, we're going to leverage the power of the cloud and have things like, you know, drive avatars that are, you know, based on a model of an actual person's driving performance, but it'll be an AI thing that you can race within your game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that to me is a feature, where it's like, upgraded graphics is just sort of like a nice to have, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but this is sort of what happens when you shorten that iteration, right? Like when you say it, like when you go from the 360 to the one, which was in what, 8 year span between the two releases,
mm-hmm.
I think, if I'm not wrong.
Pretty close to that, yeah.
Like the amount of computing power that has changed and the price of that computing power is so massive in 8 years. I mean, it's an insane jump to go from, you know, 2006 to 2014 or whatever, to go from like a 3 year jump. Like now you're shortening that cycle. There's not as much as that can happen there other than like what you're seeing, which is sort of why, you know, I jokingly call it the iPhoneification, because it's like, that's what happens when all of a sudden all you can do is tout how great the processor is a little bit better now.
Right.
Then what are you going to do? You know?
So, I mean, this honestly, I mean, my final thought on this whole thing is it's just because they realize that they want to sell a shitload of peripherals, mm-hmm. either HoloLens or, you know, PlayStation VR. And they realize the current boxes can't run them.
Can't do it.
And they're like, shit, what are we going to do? Like, we would sell the shit out of these, you know, during Christmas. We'll make a couple $100 million, if not more. But people need to be able to fucking play them.
Yeah.
So well, it's like, the technology, you know, the HoloLens and the PlayStation VR was just too powerful for the current boxes, and they needed new boxes. So.
And that's a great thought, because it's like they also probably realized that by the time they would get to another real console release, like they're going to be out of the game at that point. Like,
right.
If Vive and if the Vive and the Oculus are given a 6 year head start, like they're never going to get that close yes. to doing VR again, you know? Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, yeah, I get it in that sense. It's just such a weird consumer market at that point.
And I think, you know, my final thought on this, you know, in general would be, if I was picking a console based solely on visual aspects of the console, I would rather play games in 1080p at 60 frames per second instead of playing games at 4K at 30 frames per second.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm the only person that feels that way, because I've seen that echoed elsewhere. So I don't know. I think that's more important, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on to the side note. Yeah. Here. Yeah.
Man, Mass Effect news. Feels good to say that.
That kind of came out of nowhere. That was like the whole surprise of the Sony announcement. Was
right. Seriously.
Surprise Mass Effect gameplay.
Mass Effect Andromeda in-game footage. Granted, it was not the most action-packed.
No.
It was like a dude flying around.
It was a walking simulator.
Yes, scanning stuff. But we did get a little information out of it. So it was not really, I wouldn't say a trailer for Andromeda, but it was in-game
tech demo, you know, right?
Tech demo. In-game tech demo, kind of showing off what it's going to look like on the PlayStation Pro.
Labeled as pre-alpha.
Yes, pre-alpha stuff. And they did reveal a little bit of info. So the character you'll be playing as is known as Ryder. And Ryder can be a male or a female. But your brother or your sister will be somewhere in the universe as well. So if you pick a male Ryder, there'll be a female Ryder somewhere out there that's your sister, and vice versa. So that's pretty interesting to know that you will be, you know, a brother or a sister. And also, there was a trailer that was revealed a long time ago for Andromeda with an N7 officer in the background. And it was revealed that that N7 officer is not your character. That is your character's father. So, cool. So you play as, and my guess is you play as, you know, the son or daughter of an N7 officer. And it was already revealed that Andromeda is all about sort of this arc type mission of, you know, people going off into deep space when the world was about to end in Mass Effect 3. And this, I'm assuming, is the next generation of that family that went off in the arc. So
that can we get to kind of see so what happens. Exciting. Because, you know,
isn't that cool?
Yeah, because we've, you know, this story has been told in other places. It's kind of like sort of the plot to that miniseries Ascension. And, mm-hmm. You know, there's some overtones.
There's a side note of that in Expanse.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I think you can do a lot with that plot line of like people growing up on a ship and not knowing anything of the place that you came from. So yeah. I think that can be really exciting.
A funny sort of side note about this is I was watching the trailer or the gameplay. And I said to Melissa, she was sitting next to me, I was like, oh, do you want to see what the next Mass Effect looks like? And she's like, sure. And I like turned the screen and she's sitting there watching it. And it's just him walking, you know, like he's just walking down the thing. And she's like, okay. And I go, I'm like, doesn't it look cool? And she's like, is that the trailer? And I was like, oh, no, that's like the game. And she was like, so the game is just you walking? And I was like, no. Like, that's in-game. Like, a guy's playing that. And she goes, oh, that's the game? And I was like, yeah. And then she watched it again. She's like, oh, I thought that was like the trailer they cut together for the game.
Yeah.
I was like, no, this is actual like footage of gameplay. And she's like, holy shit, that looks amazing. I'm like, yeah, there we go.
It's very pretty. It's very pretty. And we're definitely, you know, we're going to be spoiled, I think, by this game when it comes out. But, you know, it was like we were talking about in Slack. It says pre-alpha footage. They're aiming for Q1 of next year. Like, that's coming up real soon.
Yeah, it certainly is.
If they hit next year, we'll be happy. That's all that matters, guys.
Yeah, exactly. By Q4, like, I'm fucking elated if it's, like, next year's big game. So.
Yeah, if it's, like, a launch title for the Scorpio, like, that would be
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Absolutely.
And I will enjoy...
Sell some Scorpios.
Yeah, I'll enjoy the Mako and stunning 4K.
There we go.
Yeah, Scott goes out and spends $1,000 on a TV, $700 on a Scorpio, just so he can play the Mako in 4K.
He builds a balsa wood cockpit.
Oh, so excited. It's going to be great. I'm just going to zigzag up all the mountains in the galaxy.
You're like, John, just leave me alone. Don't look at me. I'm in my Mako.
So the last bit of news is a kickback to the past. Ash, do you remember GURPS?
I do remember GURPS. I never played GURPS, though.
It's back. You
know, it was always like too hardcore for me.
Yeah, me too, but we never played in person. We were such a World of Darkness crew. But I just thought this was a fun side note. It's being kickstarted right now, and it hasn't hit its goal yet. But they're doing the, like, dungeon-delving GURPS game. And if you don't know what GURPS is, it was... What did it stand for? Generic?
Yeah, it was like a role-playing system where you could, like, slide in any...
role-playing system.
Yeah. Right, like anything you wanted, like pirates or fucking space cops or whatever you want.
Yeah. So you just took this system essentially, and it gave you like a way to build out games, and you could play like whatever you want. And then they had a bunch of games like settings that you could pick up and play. And I think part of the big thing about it was not only could you slide out the settings, but it was cheaper than D&D at the time too. Like the books were always kind of like dirt cheap. And
yeah, you'd go to the game store, and there'd be like four guys with leather trench coats. Like, what are you guys playing? We're playing GURPS. GURPS.
I loved it. But anyways, it's on Kickstarter. So if you were a GURPS fan and you somehow missed this news, then head over to Kickstarter and search for GURPS. And I thought it was pretty cool. I was like, oh, that's fun. But anyways, I like tabletop games, and I'd probably buy anything that says tabletop game on it. So let's take a break.
Cool.
And come back with reviews.
This is Commander Shepard. You're listening to the Rated NA podcast, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
So this is sort of a left turn for me, but I played NBA 2K17 Prelude.
Why is it called Prelude?
Okay, so here's what I like about this. This, so obviously I played it because it has achievements, but it's one of those instead of releasing a demo for NBA 2K17, they released, you know, what is quote unquote a full game called The Prelude. So what you can do in this game is that you can get started creating your character that you would take through the game's career mode. And then it also has, you know, you play through a couple of short like basketball games. I think there's like five or six altogether. And then, there's a narrative too, which is really interesting. Like a fully there's like,
so you play an NBA game where you only play a couple of basketball games.
Well, this is this is a demo, right? It's a demo, but it's a free experience, if that makes any. I should probably add the game is free to download.
Okay.
So basically, like, let's say in a normal world you are planning to buy NBA 2K17,
right?
You get this game. You can go ahead and set up your character, you know, your custom character, however you want. And then it takes you through sort of like a, you know, like a prologue to the main game. So it kind of fast forwards you through coming out of high school, you know, going to college, playing in college games, and then you know, deciding to go into the draft, and then you start your career in NBA 2K17. Yeah. So it's not a very long experience, but it's kind of like a way to help you get going, you know, if you're ready to, if you know you're going to play. I was just kind of fascinated, you know, to play the game in the first place, because I've heard, you know, this game in comparison to, I think, the EA offering, like, people have opinions, and I've never played a basketball sim before, so I just wanted to try it. You know, achievements aside and everything, and I just thought it was, I'm terrible at it, which is unfortunate. Like, to play a sports game where you understand the basic rules but you don't understand how to make plays is sort of frustrating. And the character that you create is, you know, like an overall level 54 character out of 100. So, you know, you'll go into the place where you're supposed to make shots from, you know, based on your character, and you'll do like a shot surrounded by nobody, and it won't go in. And it's like, oh, that sucks real bad, you know? So let's see. You know, it's a free game that you can get. And, you know, if you're interested in basketball, you should get it. And if you are, you know, an achievement hunter, you would like it as well. And if you're curious, then you should play it.
Ah, you guys want to hear about some awesome knots?
Yes.
Do I ever?
So awesome knots. We talked about this years ago. I don't know. We've done a couple episodes of this show.
Just a couple.
But Awesome Knots came out on PC, I want to say maybe 2012, 2013. And it's a really unique kind of style game. I honestly don't think I've ever played anything like it. It's a side-scrolling MOBA, so it's all in 2D. 2D side-scrolling kind of platformy MOBA, where you and your team of two other characters attempt to not only destroy the other team, but to take out their turrets and take out their base and destroy their sort of nexus on the other side, or their main headquarters on the other side. And so you're escorting your minions across this 2D map, and you are fighting your enemies and kind of having fun along the way. And the thing that really makes Awesome Knots just so much fun is the amount of character that exists in all the different playable characters. Yeah, I mean, each have their own theme songs. I think there's over 21, 22, maybe 23 different playable characters. And each have their own special moves. They all cater to different, you know, playing styles. So if you like characters like Mega Man, there's a guy that plays like Mega Man. If you like characters that can go stealth, there's characters that can go stealth and do backstabs. And it's all just crazy, fast, fun, 2D, platformy brawling. And and it's, you know, I was looking at the reviews and stuff on Steam, and, you know, I can sing it praises all day long, but it has something like over 12,000 reviews on Steam, and it's sitting at a 9 out of 10 out of 12,000 reviews. So that's the impressive. Game is impressive. And that's hard to do on Steam these days because people don't really like a whole lot of stuff.
No.
But Awesome Knots is just an absolute blast. It came out this week for Xbox One, along with all of its expansions and, you know, extra characters, extra maps. You can download different announcers. You can download tons of different skins for your favorite characters. And I really can't praise it enough. Like, it's one of those games that's simple enough to understand within 5 minutes, but then the more time you spend with it, the better you get. So, you know, if you have a couple friends who are looking for something different, or if you want to just play like couch co-op with,
you play against bots too, right?
You can play against bots. Yeah. You don't have to go online and torture yourself with people that are great. it's available now for Xbox One, and I think it's just an absolute blast. And like I said earlier, it is so inspired by 1980s and 1990s cartoons that you can definitely see that reflected in some of the characters that they created. So they're all very, you know, ridiculous and silly and fun, but just super cool. Like,
awesome,
you know, flying monkeys and giant tank people and cool stuff like that.
Yep. So, yeah. I played it back in the day. It's a lot of fun for sure.
It is really good. Really,
I think,
good.
I've missed out on it somehow. I feel like I've played it at PAX a couple times, but
yeah, I'm really glad that it's out for Xbox One and PS4, just because I think it's a good audience for the game, and I think it'll do well there. But also, it's just nice to, you know, sit on the couch with a controller and play on my TV, because it's a perfect game for that, and it is, you know, identical to the Steam version. So, you know, if you're in for something different and something fast, definitely check out Awesome Knots.
Awesome.
Knots.
So
Deus Ex. Adam Jensen returns.
Yeah, I played a little indie game called Deus Ex: Mankind Divided.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I picked it up because I think we said 2 weeks ago on the podcast, we were like, oh yeah, this game came out, and like none of us had picked it up somehow.
I played the mobile though.
Yeah, you played the Go, right? The Go.
Yeah, the Go.
Yeah.
So I picked it up. I've put, man, not a ton of time into it by Deus Ex standards, but probably, I don't know, 10, 15 hours plus into it, easy. So this is sort of a beginning stages of it. They did do something really cool there's a lot of Adam Jensen in it if you take it, but they cut together scenes from the first game and did like a probably 5-10 minute movie that retold the story of human the first game, the Deus Ex
Human Revolution.
Yeah.
So they cut together the whole story, so like literally every single story point like you could rewatch, and I realized I didn't remember 90% of that game. I was like, oh yeah, that happened.
Great.
I was like, I was in Japan at one point, okay, sure. So I watched that, kicked into the game. The game's good, like really good, surprisingly. That's plays awesome. Very well. There is they upped the stealth like a lot in this, so you can kind of, they still have all the different augmentations that you have, and there's even some more that you unlock later, but the actual stealth mechanic of like sneaking around feels a lot more like Metal Gear inspired, where you can see movement and kind of know where you're going and move around a little stickier. It works a little better. Like, it's, you can kind of like leap over things and stick to walls and move and do things like a lot smoother, I feel like, than it did in the last game from what I remember. Although I'm calling back into old memory for it.
Yeah, I do feel like in the last game, it was more about just like staying out of the vision cone, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one's not quite as much. It's way more puzzle feeling. Like there seems to be multiple ways to approach every single scene that you go into. And every time you do it, you could try it a different way to try to get around it. The saves are very forgiving, so if you did something you didn't want to do, you can back out and try again like pretty easily.
Oh, cool.
The only negative I would give the mechanics of the game, the actual gameplay right away, is, and I talked to you guys a little bit about this in Slack, is that they double use buttons. So if you tap it or hold it, it will be two different things that you can do.
I'm not a fan of that.
And it tends to be two very different things. So it'll be like, tap it and you'll knock a guy out, hold it and you'll pull like a knife out of your arm out of nowhere and like slice his throat open, and you're
oh, Jesus.
Like, so I have like one kill listed under my name right now, and it's because, but I backed up, I restarted, I was like, no, I don't like that, I restarted, but it held because I did the kill, it held it, I guess, as like in my history of gameplay.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So it's not in my story. Like, the story I have, I didn't actually kill anybody, but somehow if you look at my stats, I have a kill listed.
That sucks.
Yeah, so whatever. But I've been playing the non-lethal version. They give you that choice right away. You can play lethal or non-lethal, and you can switch at any point in time. You have, you know, multiple guns to kind of deal with stuff. But the non-lethal way is great. You get, like, a tranquilizer sniper rifle, or you can take, like, a taser, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Some might say that is the true way to play the game.
I would say so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just like murdering everything.
that's fun too, though. It's super fun.
But yeah, so the gameplay is super fun. The story, I think, is a little better this time. They do a lot of world exploration, so you can like go in and out of a lot of different rooms and houses that, like, there's just a lot of space to explore that has nothing to do with the actual storyline.
I like that a lot. That's great.
Yeah, you can go in like a house, and then you'll discover like a personal computer thing that somebody has, and like you can read it, and then it'll just be like talking about their day and how they needed to help somebody, and like it'll like break into another little side story that's like not even a tracked side story, but just like this weird little side story you can kind of like take part in. And there's a bunch of opportunities to open up side missions that literally have nothing to do with your story at all. You can just kind of explore areas, and it's really fluid and works really, really well. They do load times only when you take like the subway or get on an elevator, and even then it's very light. Like, it rarely happens.
Nice.
So
combat's good, visuals are good.
Combat's good, visuals good, story's good. The only thing that remains is Adam Jensen's 1990s, like, The Crow voice.
Yeah. Man, I was hoping that would be a little different this time.
That movie, Ash, if you get this game and watch that What Happened in the Last Game movie, will be like nails on a chalkboard to you. Oh, it is him talking for 15 minutes straight. Like, it is amazing. And then
He's the toughest guy around.
Well, you're kind of doing
David Seraph.
Seraph, yeah.
David Seraph?
So, like,
who was the guy that sounded like an old an old guy from the Midwest?
That's David Seraph.
Yeah, he had him.
Yeah, he had him. And he's in this game as well. So you have a few scenes with him. He's not a main character this time, so you don't talk to him a bunch. But you have a few scenes with him. I don't want to talk too much about plot because depending on where you are in the other game, if you ever finished it, and and also there's some really spoiler-esque stuff, but there is basically you are a member of the Interpol, essentially. It's like an international police, and you are sort of trying to uncover this mission that's gone bad, along with there's a new terrorist plot happening where it's very real feeling, but they're like blowing up trains and doing this other stuff between the Augs and the non-augmented. And so there's a lot of ties you can make to the current political climate. They don't do it in any subtle way. It's pretty blatant. but it's done decently. And the actual take of where you are as Adam Jensen now feels a lot more interesting than I feel like the first one did. The first one felt very like, you were just kind of trying to figure out why you were augmented, or like what your augmentations were doing, and sort of like whether your company was evil, which felt sort of, I don't know, thin, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this one feels a little bit more, in depth, a little bit more story, and a little more interesting. There's a lot more characters. You get some dialogue wheel type choices when you're talking to people. You can do a lot of things around them that is just more interesting. So I definitely recommend this. I don't know why it slid through the cracks. I feel like it did for a lot of people, because no one's really, I don't feel like it's like in the zeitgeist or anything.
Yeah.
But it's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. If you want like a stealthy narrative game, Deus Ex is doing all right right now. So
yeah. Sweet.
I think awesome. I think even with the last game, they did a pretty good job of taking, you know, like a classic PC franchise and still sort of maintaining the spirit of that game, you know, for like a new generation of people, which like not a lot of games do that, you know.
I think they did it mostly through narrative and the stealthy kind of gameplay, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just the overall tone and feel of the game kind of matches that of the original, except the original was incredibly difficult, you know, and this one is like, you know, even on the hard mode is toned down a little bit. But I think that's kind of in line with modern gaming. The only other thing I'll add is that there's sort of like a related show that was released on Amazon Prime. It's like a 30-minute documentary called Human by Design. And I think it's, it's like little vignettes about people who, it says 12 extraordinary people who are at the intersection of technology and imagination.
Huh.
So I think it kind of explores ethical things that are themes in the game as well.
Yeah, they hammer on the kind of augmented versus non-augmented thing a lot as a theme.
Yes.
And it's done well at times and terrible at other times with the series, the modern adaptation of the series is known for its writing necessarily.
Sure.
So It's interesting when they do it well. I think what makes it better this time is all that side stuff. So if you spend your time reading it and kind of exploring the world, it makes it feel less like they're just kind of pounding on this one theme over and over again with the main narrative.
It's like really fleshed out, yeah.
Yeah, like it makes you feel like you're in a place doing stuff and there's actual people around you. There's a decision point in the game that you have to make that's like gut-wrenching at a certain point and it's between two people's lives, and it's very like they do a lot of neat stuff with it that is more interesting than I think the main narrative sometimes, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It ends up being fun to explore.
That's how you enrich the experience for sure.
Yeah. Cool. So check it out. It's a good one. I don't know why it slipped through. Good. But as a note on the Steam versus like the rest of the world thing, like I don't know if it's janky on the PC, but it has like a 6 on Steam and it's like a 90% or 85 or something everywhere else.
Maybe
so.
It was a port. Maybe it was ported to PC. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? So anyways, pick it up. I'm playing on Xbox and I'm enjoying it. So
Ash, there you go. Ash, do you have a mystery game to talk about?
Mystery game. I'm sort of ashamed of myself.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Long ago.
Is it Blood in the Sand?
No.
Oh, 50 Cent Blood on the Sand is so good. So good, you guys. Get it. Go to GameStop. Get it on Xbox 360. 50 Cent, I don't know, whatever you think about his music, he makes a good video game. He's a good shooter, dude. It's a good
A lot of shooter. People really like that game.
It is a good game.
I will never forget that review.
It's incredible.
Blood on the Sand.
Blood on the Sand.
I don't know if this game is of Blood on the Sand quality, but it's a little game called World of Warcraft.
Oh, you went back into it, Ash. Oh, man.
Do we need to call
someone? Every once in a while, I'll relapse. If for those of you who have been listening for a long time, you probably remember back in the first year of the show, I went back briefly for Cataclysm just to try it out and see how it was. For those of you who've known me for a very long time, I played World of Warcraft quite a lot from 2004 to 2008 to the point where it nearly destroyed my life. And I was, you know, hitting the sauce on a daily basis and, you know, generally being a terrible person and just, you know, throwing kids inside of wells and things like that. And so what just happened is World of Warcraft Legion came out.
Yeah.
And I was not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole, but then reviews came out and everyone's like, holy crap, they fixed World of Warcraft. It's super fun again. And I was like, well, why is it good? I need to figure out why is this good? What is going on? And so I fired it up two nights ago, and I do have to say that World of Warcraft Legion is actually a lot of fun.
Amazing.
Can I tell you why?
Yeah, I want to know.
Let me tell you why. Okay, so they added a new character class.
No, you can't tell me why.
I feel like a junkie trying to tell people like why like heroin is so delicious. Like, hey, just step right up. You guys want to try some Flocka? It's so good.
Man, you're stuck on Flocka right now.
Oh my God.
Your second Flocka reference this week.
Can I get a Stuck on Flocka t-shirt, please?
Oh my God.
It's perfect for the Stuck on Flocka.
Yeah, seriously. So anyway, they added a new playable character class called the Demon Hunter, which is an all new style of play. It's sort of like I want to say demon ninja, if you will. So you have a lot of really fast attacks. You can do a lot of flips and you summon cool blades and you can, you know, shoot lasers out of your eyes and do fun demon-y stuff. And I think the thing that really made me like Legion was the fact that there was a lot of stuff that was like finally voiced, like a lot of the quests and everything finally have like actors acting them out and things were going on. And I was like drawn into the story of what was happening in the World of Warcraft, which was the big disconnect in the first, you know, 10 years of the game essentially was that all of the quests were just text. Right. And you just sit there and now a good portion of them are still text, but the main arc of Legion is all voiced with actual voice actors and, you know, scripted sequences and really kind of cool, you know, action set pieces, right? So it feels more like something that you'd see in Star Wars The Old Republic than you would see in, you know, World of Warcraft. So there's like something going on and there's people talking and you actually kind of feel drawn into this cool story, which is...
So you've already level capped your Demon Hunter.
Not yet. the new level cap is level 110 and you start off at level 110, right? And you start off at level 98 with a Demon Hunter. So they just start you right off at 98.
I think when I was playing with you, it was 40 was the level cap.
Jeez.
I think it was 60. 60 was that when
60?
You were... Yeah, Vanilla was 60 and then...
Okay.
Yeah. Jeez. So now it is level 110. So some new stuff, obviously brand new zones, brand new character classes. They redid all of the, and this is just, honestly, this is a review for people that are still playing Warcraft. They redid all the skill trees. And so, you know, all new skills and abilities for everybody. So if you've been playing a character from day one, it's going to be a completely different experience once you have Legion installed. And so all of that is kind of, you know, completely done from scratch. So all the characters are going to feel very, very
That's
different.
Crazy, dude. That's crazy.
They did all new animations for the characters and new combat animations and new spells and spell effects. And they kind of just gave everything a fresh piece of paint. And it really shows. And, you know, it kind of shows you that Blizzard isn't really going to give up on its titles. Blizzard's whole big thing is like games as a service. Mm-hmm. So when you like buy a Blizzard title, no matter what it is, they're going to keep providing content for that title till the end of time, as long as it's still making money, right?
Yeah.
And World of Warcraft continues to change, and it's just very interesting to see that it could still be an enjoyable experience over 10 years after it's come out. I mean, it came out, 12 years ago at this point.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, and I actually had a really good time. Like, it looks great on my PC. Like, I have a pretty decent graphics card, and, like, the game still looks pretty, and the music was really cool. The voice acting was well done, and I was like, shit, I'm playing a fun RPG right now.
It's like they modernized the game.
They did, yeah. Like 10 years ago, yeah. Yeah, so if you, if you buy Legion, you get an automatic boost for any of your characters to level 100, so you don't have to do the grind, so you get to, get one of your characters all the way up to level 100. And you can experience the new content right off the bat if you choose to do so. And it was fun. I don't know if I'll stick around. Probably not. I just wanted to see what it was like. And then, I will put it down until the next expansion. But I'll probably play it a little bit on and off just because it was nice, I hadn't played an RPG in a long time.
Part of your heritage.
Yeah, man. And the cool thing was, a long time ago, something weird happened, and Blizzard did this thing where they merged a lot of servers, right? And because they merged servers, they took a lot of names that were like highly requested and gave them away. So like all the character names that I had for my characters from like launch day, like of vanilla, they got like given away to other people.
Oh,
and and it really upset me. I was like, I'll never go back. Like, I have all these names that I loved and my characters that were like, that I literally played for like months and months of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm just not going to go back to them. And then they reverted that not so long ago. So a couple years ago, they like did, sorry, we'll give you all your names back. So all my character names reverted back to what they were. And so like all my characters that had been like laying dormant for years and years and years and years at this point, 4 or 5 years, were just like sitting there like with all their gear still on and their names and like all their shit still in the bank. And like, it was just neat to be like, blow the dust off and be like, oh shit, like here's this,
yeah,
this character that I inhabited for like, years of my life and ran this big guild and did all sorts of crazy stuff with. So it was neat to kind of dive back in. And and there were still people when I logged in the other night that were like, what are you doing here? Like, I remembered.
Oh my God.
No, I'm dead serious. I was like, don't look at me. Like, you stay away. I'm going to hide. But it was amazing. Fun. It was good to go back. And if you want to check out Demon Hunter, I definitely say go for it. They're super, super fun. So crazy stuff.
Cool. World of Warcraft. Look at you. Look at you.
I know,
playing.
Man.
Wow.
I know. Right. It's good times.
It's a good mystery game.
Yeah, mystery game. I wanted to surprise you guys with Sick Addiction.
Wow.
Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 246 on the Rated NA podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's at NerdAppropriate. We would love to talk to you there, so say hi to us. You can email us directly, and that is MattScottNash@NerdAppropriate.com. Or if you have something to say, you can email us at nerds@NerdAppropriate.com. We have Twitch TV, we have Instagram, we have Facebook, /NerdAppropriate. So go there and follow us or say hi to us or do whatever you can do. And we'll be back next week with some all new stuff. And we're getting close to 250, guys. I don't know what's going to happen.
For sure.
I'm crazy. See you guys later.
So is this where I do my 40 minutes on taking the internet down a peg?
Oh, we're out of time.
Oh, God sorry. Damn it, we're out of time. Shit.
Yep, sorry. We'll just have to we'll push it to next episode.
Next week.
Yeah, sorry.
Womp womp. Sorry.